went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, and the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those three times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost better. Keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 and then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Hantoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Hantoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
I'm here with Bruce Bagan of B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're talking about making home pools and spas green.
As always, it's great speaking with you, Jimmy.
You are the exclusive pool builder that offers the IntelliPool and IntelliSpa.
Jimmy, green is about more than just energy. It's about safety and cleanliness as well.
What makes up an Intelli system?
As far as what's green, it includes a programmable IntelliFlow pump with its built-in shutoff feature that meets New York and New Jersey's requirements for new pools. We use heat pumps that reduce heating costs. We offer solar heating as well. For those people who wish to reduce or eliminate chemicals in the pool, we can install a system that makes their water virtually chemical-free.
Thanks for informing our listeners, Bruce. If you need to contact a pool professional about your pool, call B&B Pool and Spa Center, 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge, and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com, or call 800-594-2137. That's bbpoolandspa.com, 800-594-2137.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Hantoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We're located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Building 400, Office 404. And best way to get a hold of me is use my cell phone. The cell phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, that's 845-561-2225. That is the phone that I answer directly. So if you want to talk to me, that's certainly going to be the best way to get a hold of me. The other way to get a hold of me would be to send me an email. My email address is docrick, docrick at spineboy.com. Again, that's docrick at spineboy.com. You can come to a free healthcare class held every Tuesday evening at 6:30. You need to call ahead for reservations. But please take the time to get the education that you need so that you can take your health back. And your health is your most important asset. Without your health, you might as well be dead. And we certainly don't want you to be dead. So we'd like for you to not suffer quietly or even loudly on your way to the grave. We'd like for you to participate in life fully, to have a fun-filled, action-packed, adventurous time that's thoroughly enjoyed by all. And that's what our wish is for you on When Your Health Matters. And again, it's not up to me when your health matters. It's up to you when your health matters. So if you have a health issue and you are not getting the results that you're looking for from your medical practitioner, your physical therapist, your pharmacist, or what have you, by all means, give me a call. Give me an opportunity. Give me the permission to help you to better understanding about your health and what it'll take you to be healthy. And the man that helps me do that every week, he's sitting here in studio. He's across the studio from me. His name is Mark Saban. He's a wonderful individual. He's an interfaith minister. He's a marketing guru. He's a father, and he's a Tai Chi master, and he's just a all around well wonderful person, and we want to say welcome, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Thank you for that kind introduction, Doc. You know, when people think about going to see a chiropractor, they think it's all about their back, or at least the spine. Is that what chiropractic means?
Well, that's an interesting question. Actually, Mark, chiropractic is a Greek term that means to heal by hand. The word chiro is to heal by hand, and praktikos is the practice of. So the whole term means to heal by hand and is pronounced chiropractic.
Huh, that's interesting. Now, the spine is a crucial part of the skeletal system, and it provides the main communication pathway between the brain and the rest of the bodies. Can it relate to almost any health problem?
Yes, Mark. Not only can it, it does. I mean, think about it. Your brain is the main control center of the whole body, and it communicates to the body through the spinal cord, which gives off spinal nerves, which then become nerves and then become neurons to every single cell within your body, all 80 quadrillion of them. And then the cells, they too send communication back on other nerves that go to the spinal cord before returning to the brain, indicating the status of the original command that was sent out by the brain. And this is a process of two-way communication, and it's vital for the normal functioning and health within the body. Because without proper communication running both to and from the brain and the systems and the person, etc., well, then those systems and the person will begin to have problems. So we need to maintain this open communication at all times. All times, Mark.
At all times. So the nerves go through the spinal cord, and we think about the spine as being fairly still, but it flexes, it bends a bit, it can compress and extend. There's really quite a bit of movement through the spine if it's healthy.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you take a look at the spinal cord itself, the spinal cord is that transfer cable, like an electrical cable, from the wall to your lights or your dishwasher or the garage door. It sends signals from the switch that turns on or off the electricity that controls the function or no function of the device that you're trying to affect. So the spinal cord is the cable of wires that transfers information to and from the brain and the body, and it's absolutely vital for health and function. So huge amounts with lots of protection and redundancy help protect the function and survival of the body. And, you know, so the spine, in order to be able to move, there's a complex system that's set up. It really is a fascinating, as far as the anatomy goes, the physiology and the intelligence that is involved on how the body functions and survives. And God was a masterful engineer as far as the function, the survival, the health of and the maintenance of all the different aspects of our body, and the spine and the spinal cord is one of those fascinating aspects that was created by our Creator.
And it's one of the first things that develops when you're a fetus, right?
It is the first thing that develops after the heart develops, yes.
Okay. So the nerves, they all pass through the small channels in the vertebrae. Is that what the communication system, so that each one at each area, each level of your spine, the different vertebrae, the communication goes to a different part of your body?
Yes, it is. It's part of the communication system, and it's where the communication leaves the spinal cord or travels specifically to the organ, gland, or tissue at the end of the junction leaving the spinal cord. It's like getting off an exit ramp of the highway. Now you're on a smaller road and headed for home or work or wherever you happen to be going. So it's a smaller a tributary, if you will.
Mm-hmm. So what can you tell us about the 24 vertebrae in the spine and what it takes for them to remain aligned, comfortable, and healthy?
Well, each vertebrae is held in place by muscles that attach to each vertebrae along the length of the spine, and each muscle is associated with a specific organ or gland, and the tone, length, and function of those muscles are controlled by the functioning of those organs or glands. So a gland or organ imbalance will affect specific muscles associated with that organ or gland directly, and once you understand this relationship, you can then begin to zero in and understand what is the function of what's going on versus what's not going on, and you can zero in on what's not functioning properly.
Mm-hmm. So do the vertebrae just stack up one on top of the other?
Well, that's interesting. That's a simplified perspective, but yes, they do stack up on top of each other, like kind of like tuna cans.
Okay, but in between the vertebrae, there are discs, You hear about people who have herniated discs or bulging discs. These are part of the back problems that people experience, right?
Yeah, the discs are there, and their function is basically they act as shock absorbers that will help create flexibility, protection, and support of the spine to allow for the bending and turning of the spine and the body, and they keep the bones of the spine from banging up against each other so that the spine can continue to do its job. Not a lot of irritation, not a lot of inflammation if you take care of it, and that's the primary mechanism of treatment that chiropractors administer. They are spine care specialists to help maintain the functional integrity and the health of your spine.
Mm-hmm. And since back problem is such a ubiquitous problem for people, it's important to be able to make that primary care possible.
Absolutely. And we need to appreciate, well, why would one get back pain? Well, at the end of the day, it's because ideally we came from being a, quadruped, walking on both hands and feet at the same time, like most of the animals do on our planet. And we evolved away from that, and we started to stand up and walk on our, what would have been our hind legs, which are now just known as our legs. And we started to reach up above ourselves and that kind of stuff. And in the process of doing that, we created new support mechanisms in an effort to maintain the integrity and the functionality of how our spine works.
Now, growing up, it was always, you're always told to keep your back straight, stand up straight, all that kind of stuff. Is your back meant to be perfectly straight?
No, it is not. Your back actually has four natural curves to it, one in the neck, one in the middle back that goes the opposite direction, one in the lower back that goes the same way that the one in the neck went, and then one between the cheeks of your buttocks, which is the sacral part, which curves again the same way that the middle part of the curve in the middle part of your back does. So you got two that curve forward and two that curve backwards.
Now, you mentioned the sacral part. Now, isn't that just a solid bone now, or are there joints there?
It's actually a series of five bones that stack on top of each other that decided to work together as a family, so they kind of fuse together, and sometimes you'll come along a person that has a sacralization issue or a lumbarization issue to where one of the vertebrae that either should stay a vertebrae becomes like a sacrum. Mm-hmm. And joins the sacrum, or one that's supposed to be part of the sacrum decides that it wants to be a vertebrae, and so it doesn't join with the sacrum, and then you get either an extra sacral segment or an extra vertebral segment.
Mm-hmm. Is that a problem for people if they have that extra segment there?
Well, it can be. It just depends upon what kind of abuse they put in their body. And sometimes orthopedists or neurologists will do x-rays, or chiropractors will do x-rays, and they'll say, oh, this is not normal. This is why you have what you have. And, that's not necessarily true at all. And if you know how to evaluate somebody functionally, then you can determine whether that's an issue or if that's just an incidental finding.
Mm-hmm. Now, all the way at the bottom below the sacrum is the coccyx, or the tailbone.
Correct.
Now, that is an area that, because little kids fall on their bottoms a lot, you hear about people have broken their tailbone or have injured it, or those falls. Can that create problems in the back?
It will create problems in the back because there's a protective covering known as your meninges that they protect the brain within the skull. But it also protects the whole spinal cord that goes down your spine, and it attaches at the end of your coccyx. And so if you fracture or break and bend your coccyx in a way, then that changes the length of those meninges, which will potentially create pressure on the nerves that those meninges attach to and cause nerve malfunctioning. And there's a lot of times where I can fix that within the office so that all the pressure within the meninges goes away, and then things like high blood pressure goes away, things like adrenal stress goes away, and diabetes sometimes goes away as a result of just simply taking the tension out of the protective layer that lines and attaches to all the spinal nerves.
That's amazing. So, you mean just making an adjustment to the tailbone can actually help facilitate recovering from some of these really problematic diseases?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of when in the past, I've helped take the tension out of a person's meninges.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, all their symptoms of Parkinson's disappear.
Wow.
They no longer have their trembling. They no longer have their shuffling gait. They no longer have their pill rolling phenomenon. And it's just, you took the stress out of their nervous system, and now the nervous system just simply calms down, and it doesn't have a reason for those tremors.
I think it's amazing because I don't think people generally appreciate how much impact the spinal health can have on your overall well-being.
No, actually they don't, and that's the thing. And we're all born in a state of ignorance, and it's a question of, well, what kind of understandings do you pursue by going and getting an education and asking questions and trial and error and all of that? That's what the process of life is. The process of life is going from being fully unconscious to being fully conscious. That's what the spiritual journey is about. And it doesn't matter where you're at, you can always gain more understanding. You know, I know a lot of things about a lot of stuff with regards to health, but that never stops me from questioning. It never stops me from experimenting. It never stops me from going to seminars and asking other questions from people who know more than I do.
So when you talk about some of these other disciplines that you've looked into and that you use in your practice, how do those coincide with what you do as a chiropractor? How do they complement, or how do they add to what you do?
Well, what they do is they allow me to go to the next level of cause within something. Okay, it's not simply that this vertebrae. When I first got out of school as a licensed chiropractor, Mrs. Jones would come in Monday with a headache, and I would give her an adjustment, and the headache would disappear before she even got off the table. Okay, but Wednesday she'd be back in my office with another headache. So she's like, "Dr. Rick, that headache went away for 2 days, but it's back again. Can you do what you did on Monday?" Absolutely. So we adjust her again, and her headache's again gone before she gets off the table. So now Friday, I'm looking at my front door waiting for Mrs. Jones to come back in with another headache, because it lasted 2 days last time. Let's see if it lasts another 2 days or what have you. And thank goodness, Friday she doesn't come in, and I'm like, yes, I got it. It just took two visits. I would have wanted it to be one, but it took two. Okay, whatever. Saturday morning, she's my first appointment. And I said, "Well, when did the headache come back?" She says, "Well, it came back yesterday afternoon." I'm like, "Well, why didn't you come in Friday evening?" And she said, "Well, I had plans to go out with my husband or with my girlfriends or whatever, and I wasn't going to let a little headache get in the way of that." So I saw her Monday for a headache, Wednesday for another headache, and Saturday for a third headache. Three different headaches, three different treatments, three different successes. Her headache goes away. But then she's back in my office on Monday with another headache. And it's like, okay, I'm looking at that situation saying, okay, the adjustment is appropriate, but the adjustment isn't fixing the problem. So I started looking outside of the box of what chiropractic is about just simply adjusting the spine, and I wanted to understand, well, why did Mrs. Jones get four different headaches over the course of a week?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to start understanding, well, what's the mechanism for why a body would develop a headache, or why would a body develop neck pain, or why would a body develop digestive issues, or why would a body develop allergies, or why would a body develop autoimmune disease, or why would a body develop low back pain, or any of the other hundreds of conditions that I treat on a regular basis that you can find on my website? Why would I try to find the mechanism of cause? Because all the other treatments out there are just that. They're treatments. They're not solutions. I want to be in the business of truly fixing problems, not treating symptoms, not creating a treadmill of treatment to where, oh, you get headaches, I'm going to have to see you three times a week for the next 12 weeks to make a dent in why you get a headache. No, I want to fix the reason for why you get a headache so that you can go back to your life.
I think that's different in the way you approach it from the way a lot of chiropractors do.
Because, oh, it's hugely different.
I mean, I think a lot of chiropractors look for that treadmill of treatment because it brings them income.
Right, and no disrespect to any of my chiropractor brothers and sisters, okay? If you want the McDonald's of chiropractic, okay, you're going to go to one of those places. There's one right down the street from my office, okay? You want to go there where you can go in and for like $20 or $25, you can get an adjustment. And you can do that every time you come in. Or you can buy a block of treatment to where you can come for this number of dollars. You can come as often as you want for the whole month. You're probably not going to see the same doctor every time you come in, but you're going to get a whole bunch of treatment for that small stipend. Well, that's like taking an aspirin for a headache. It's going to deal with the immediate headache, but it's not going to deal with the underlying reason for why you get the headache. But for some people, that's appropriate for them. And so, great. I don't have any issues with that. For somebody who wants to really get more into the understanding of why they have the issues that they have, if you want to know the why, I'm Dr. Why. You want to come talk to me, and I will answer your question fully. Go to my website and click on the Ask Dr. Why page, and you're going to see there's probably 60 different conditions that I answer the mechanism of why you would get that. So I would encourage you to do that before you decide to go to one of those simple lay down and I'm going to adjust every bone in your spine kind of clinics, or whether you go to somebody that's a little bit more hands-on, a little bit more mechanistic type treatment, or going to the pharmacy and just simply getting an over-the-counter medication that's going to mask your symptom and never fix the problem anyway.
It's well, this is good because, you know, it's important to understand that because we want to talk. I want to talk to you about backs and about back pain, and this is kind of where things begin. But there's so much more that you're capable of doing, that you have studied about, that you have used and added into your practice, that even though things may begin with between the brain and the communication system of the body, but that also enables you to be able to understand how the body functions because of some of the other things, like the muscle testing that you use in order to be able to communicate with the body and understand what's going on with the person.
Right, what's working and what's not working and where the source of that is coming from. It's like, okay, you can go to one of those quick places and you can get every bone in your spine adjusted, and that's probably what goes on in that particular clinic. And again, that's fine, okay? They're doing a service for the person. Mm-hmm. What people do when they come into my office is not only do I find where they have misalignments, but I also ask the question, well, where's the primary one? Where's the one that went out first that all the other ones are trying to compensate for? Because that's what your body does. It tries to compensate.
Right.
Okay. So we'll find what the primary or what the two primary bones out of place are, or what is called subluxations. Mm-hmm. And if I treat the primary subluxation first, all the other ones go away on their own. Why? Because they were the ones that were as a reaction to
right.
the first bone being out of place. They were compensating for that first bone. Know where the primary one is. Treat the primary one. You got less intervention with a much bigger result.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'd rather do that.
Yeah. Well, this is great. This is a very important conversation. I'm glad that we're having it today. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to ask you some more specific questions about back pain and what people can do to treat their own back pain.
Absolutely. But please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Dr. Richard Huntoon, your host for When Your Health Matters. If you have health concerns and would like to help them in a natural, non-drug way, I personally invite you to come to a free healthcare class held at my office every Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m. For a complete list of topics, go to spineboy.com or call 845-561-BACK or 561-2225 to get information on your next free class, When Your Health Matters.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you are listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. Best way to get a hold of me is to call my cell phone directly. That's area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. You can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick@spineboy.com. Come to a free healthcare class held every Tuesday evening at 6:30. Listen to the radio show. Go to the website and listen to the radio shows over and over and over again. Get the education, the understanding that you need. Go to my website, spineboy.com. It is a wealth of information. It's got well over 200 different pages of healthcare conditions. Gives you the education on what the condition is, what causes the condition, what the medical perspective is, what my perspective is, and what you can do to truly solve your condition. And that's what we want for you. We want you to be empowered. We want you to be informed. We want you to be the owner of your body and never have any issues in your body. And then we can just all accomplish something much more substantial than what we're currently doing right now in our lives. And so, Mark, we were talking about back pain and...
How common is back pain? It seems like one of the most common things that people have suffer from.
Well, according to statistics, 85% of Americans will experience debilitating back pain at least once in their life that will cause them to miss work and other functions in their life.
85%.
85%.
That's nearly everybody.
Nearly.
I mean, if you had an election and somebody got 85% of the vote, you would think it would be more than
a landslide.
Wow,
that was a landslide.
That was more than a landslide.
Yeah.
So what is it that makes backs so vulnerable to pain?
Well, again, we alluded to it in the first part of the show, the anatomy and the nature of how we move and do our lives. We were never meant truly to live upright without having certain concerns that require specific maintenance habits that help to maintain the integrity of the spine and the nervous system. And it is the ongoing maintenance that makes all the difference in the health of the individual, and if you will develop health concerns as you age, or if you won't develop those health concerns.
So when it comes to back pain, I mean, we talked about there were four curves that you mentioned in the back. In each of those curves, would you say the back pain that people get is different or for different reasons, like a neck pain versus like in your lower back pain?
Well, each part of your body comes with a different level of consciousness, so to speak. So the neck, what goes on in your head is what you think about.
Right.
What goes on in your body is what you actually do. So if there is an imbalance between what you're thinking and what you're doing, then the area that connects those two parts of your body is going to have problems because it's being pulled in one direction by what you're thinking and pulled in another direction by what you're doing, and that's going to create neck pain. When you have pain in your lower back, it's an imbalance between what you're doing and actually executing and instituting what it is that you're trying to do. So that's going to create low back pain. So depending upon where a person has pain, today we're talking about low back pain. Low back pain is typically in an imbalance between functionally what's going on within your kidneys and what's going on within your large intestine. Okay, so kidneys is about fear, and large intestine is about being dogmatic or rigid in your way of thinking. And so sometimes people who are afraid to let go,
mm-hmm.
they will develop low back pain mm-hmm. because they're exercising and activating the kidney in an unbalanced way and the large intestine in an unbalanced way. And both of those organs relate to and control the low back. So people who get low back pain, they typically have a kidney component and a large intestine component.
Would that also go as far as the adrenal glands, since the stress that we experience is expressed?
Well, the adrenals would be the gland that actually is helping to solve the condition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the adrenals sit above your kidneys, okay, and they may be responding to what your kidneys is doing or not doing, or what your large intestine is doing or not doing, or what mm-hmm. any part of your body is doing or not doing. So the adrenals could be involved as far as how your body's managing stress, and if it can't manage it, then you would probably manifest low back pain.
No, I mean, so many chiropractors, the main reason people come to see them is because they have back issues, but you have a much more eclectic and broad-reaching practice. So is that a main reason that people come to see you is for back pain?
No, not directly. I mean, people come to see me because they want to simply get their health back. Now, having back pain may be a symptom of that they deal with in their life, okay? But ideally, people don't... I haven't had somebody call me in quite some time and say, specifically, I want to come in because I have back pain. Typically, people are calling me because they've heard of me, they've listened to my show, they've gone to my website, somebody told them about the wonderful work that I do, and they're interested in having that kind of experience. And so they'll call me with all their complex issues, and they'll tell me, listen, I got hormones, I got a tricked knee, I got low back pain, I got lots of digestive issues, I got reflux, and I got a thyroid problem, and I'm tired of going to seven different doctors. I'm just wondering if you could help me manage all of that. And it's like, no, I'm not going to help you manage it. I'm going to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about managing. It's about fixing.
It's about fixing. Now, you talked about some of the different emotions and the discrepancies between what you're thinking and what you're doing that lead to back problems. What about misalignments? Are those the main source for back problems? What happens first? Is this a chicken and egg question?
It is a chicken and egg. Misalignments are the result of other imbalances within the body related to those organs, glands, and tissues associated with the stress related to emotional reasons, chemical reasons, allergic reasons, toxicity reasons, physiological imbalances, or spiritual imbalances that affect the functional communication within the body, leading to symptoms and other health concerns that causes the misalignments.
Well, what about injuries like car accidents and falls off a bicycle or something? Are those...
Certainly could impact it. That would be a direct physical cause,
mm-hmm.
okay? But we are dynamic individuals and complex beings, and it's usually there's not just... Typically, there's usually not one mechanistic cause. Usually, it's a complex of things that goes into it.
And yeah, I think we've talked about this before, that if you... When you have a... You sustain an injury,
mm-hmm.
but there are also other compounding factors in the injuries.
Right. For instance, you just mentioned a car accident.
Right.
Okay. So the person's in a car and they're driving down the road and they hear screeching tires behind them and they quickly turn their head to look up in their rearview mirror. So now their head is turned. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And in the back of their mind, what emotion do you think they're experiencing
terrible
in that
fear.
Moment? Terrible fear. Exactly.
Terrible fear.
Terrible fear. So now their kidneys get immediately activated, which influences their low back. Their head is turned, causing stress in the neck, and now the car that's locking up its brakes hammers into the rear bumper, and the person's head goes back while it's turned, okay? They got a lap harness on their seatbelt that's holding their pelvis in place, so the body then lurches forward, which puts stress on the back.
And the airbag goes off.
A shearing stress. Then, no, well, the airbag wouldn't go off because you got hit in the back.
Oh, okay.
Okay, if you got hit in the front, the person behind you's airbag went off, and they got smacked in the face with noxious gas and an airbag that they don't even remember getting hit in the face with. They're just kind of stunned. So you got all these things going on. But the emotion of fear while your body's being traumatized... Do you see the logical connection for how that would develop into low back pain?
It makes sense, but yet it's not something that I thought of before.
No, and it's not something that even an orthopedist would think about or a neurologist would think about, because they don't look at people as emotional beings. They look at people as physical beings that have physical structures, so we want to affect the physical structures. And we were taught in school that if somebody has emotional problems, to refer them out to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, and it's like, we don't deal with any of that. Well, as an auto mechanic, why would you only deal with spark plugs?
Right.
Why wouldn't you deal with, you know, the catalytic converter, or why wouldn't you deal with the timing, or why wouldn't you deal with the, you know, the transmission, or why wouldn't you deal with any other aspect of the engine?
Yeah.
If you're a mechanic.
Yeah, you would deal with the whole thing.
Hopefully.
Yeah. And of course, human beings are a lot more complicated than an automobile.
Yes.
Now, how big a factor is posture in back pain?
It can be a huge factor. It just depends on how the person stores their stress. There are people who slouch all the time that never have an issue with their back. There are those who are due diligent about maintaining ideal posture who have problems with their back. And then there are those people who don't pay attention to their posture who have lots of problems with their back. And so it just depends upon, well, how does a person store their stress and how does it impact them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some people, for lack of a better example, George Burns was famous for holding what in his hand his whole life?
He had a cigar.
He had a cigar, and he smoked cigars his whole life, okay? Yet he didn't have any issues with smoking cigars. He was in agreement with being able to smoke cigars to where he didn't have any counter intention within his body, never developed disease as a result of that. There are some people who smoke for, you know, a year, and all of a sudden they got full-blown disease as a result of smoking. Every person's different. So sometimes, you know, posture is going to affect somebody negatively, and sometimes it's not.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you're sitting for prolonged periods of time and being sedentary, that would seem to me to be a potential source for back pain.
It could be a potential source for back pain. Remember when we talked about eye health and we talked about having your eye be at a certain distance from the
screen?
From
the computer, yeah.
And so the muscles that regulate the lens of your eye kind of get fixed at a certain length, and then the lens only works at that length. Well, same thing with your body. If you're sitting in a chair all day, every day, and your muscles get used to being in that, and you're storing all your stresses in the muscles that are at that length, then you may have problems when you try to get out of that length, and the body may not be able to compensate for that.
So now these new things like iPhones and Fitbits and things like that, they will tell you after a period of time, if you've been sitting, it's time to stand up.
Wonderful.
You know, because every hour you need to move around. You shouldn't be just sitting in a sedentary position.
And that's beautiful that the technology is out there to do that. And I find it pretty ridiculous that we need that technology in order to do that.
To remember to do it.
Right.
Yeah, I know. It's funny, but it's just kind of an interesting thing that we've done that. Now, are the can you? We talk about mechanical problems, accidents, emotional issues. What about serious conditions like inflammatory arthritis, infections, or fractures, or cancer? How do those impact back pain?
Those can create back pain. Basically, it's those kinds of things like the inflammatory arthritis cancer and those kinds of things. That's the internalization of mental and emotional stress compounded by the crap foods that we eat, poor sleeping habits, lack of exercise, too much sitting. It goes on and on and on and on. And because of the poor eating that we do, it suppresses our body's ability to develop a normal immune response to certain pathogens. And so then we would get infections and those kinds of things. And so at the end of the day, it goes back to what are we doing to take care of, maintain, and properly maintain our health?
So the whole show we did last week.
Sure.
Yeah. So here's some specific questions about different things that go on with the back. What is a scoliosis?
Scoliosis is a curvature of the spine that goes side to side. This is very common but not normal. Most people have some minor degree within like 5% of a curvature simply from doing things with their dominant hand versus not doing things symmetrically. So that'll create curvature. But it's a side to side curvature, not the front to back that we talked about with
that
the
normal.
Yeah.
Right. Then there's another thing called lordosis.
Well, that leads into what I was just alluding to, is the fact that a lordosis is a curve in the spine where the spine curves forward towards the front of the body. You naturally develop one in your neck from lifting your head as a child, and then you develop one in your lower back from standing upright as we begin to walk.
Uh-huh. Then there's something called a kyphosis or kyphosis.
A kyphosis is the opposite. It curves from the front to the back and exists normally in the middle back and in the sacrum where your pelvis exists. And these naturally develop within the womb as we're typically bent in a C shape when we're in our mother's womb growing. And so the natural C-shaped curve is there. And then when we come out of the womb and we start to lift our head to see what's above us, and when we start to stand up and the force of gravity, we get the two resultant lordotic curves that come along after the normal what we're born with, which is called a kyphotic curve or a kyphosis.
Uh-huh. And I know that in the yoga postures, there's one called child's pose, where you basically, almost in that embryonic posture, where you're on your knees and your back is curved, and it's a very relaxing posture to go into.
Absolutely, because that's where we were born and where we were safe.
Exactly. What is sciatica, and how does that happen?
Sciatica is a condition where the largest nerve in the body that comes out of the several different spinal levels in your lower back gets compressed, creating pain down the back of the thigh, into the leg, and possibly into the foot. Now, 99% of the time, it's due to a hormonal imbalance that leads to an anterior hip subluxation that causes tightening of a piriformis muscle that leads to pressure on the sciatic nerve in your butt, thus causing sciatica. Now, in my office, it's a simple thing to remedy and usually takes a visit, possibly two, to address that type of sciatica. And if it's due to a disc herniation, compressing the nerve before it leaves the spinal canal, then we need to do other things. But for the most part, it's due to a hormonal imbalance affecting the hip on the side of the sciatica, causing spasms in that piriformis muscle, leading to pressure on the sciatic nerve, thus creating the condition known as sciatica.
And that can go all the way down your leg, right?
Go all the way down to the tips of your toes, Mark.
Wow, wow. What is this thing called, morning back?
Morning back is a stiffness or pain in the back due to the poor sleeping patterns, being dehydrated, and weaknesses in the muscles supported by the large intestine and the kidneys. And it usually affects people, obviously, in the morning, Mark.
Yeah, I guess so, after a long night of sleep. What is osteoporosis?
Osteoporosis, that's where the bones themselves become more porous because you don't have enough of the minerals, of the cofactors, and of the calcium to maintain the integrity of the bone. If you've taken cortisone injections, it's going to create demineralization of the bone, and that's a medically induced osteoporosis. And for those listening out there with osteoporosis, please don't ever get a cortisone shot because it's just going to increase your osteoporosis. And it's just simply not having enough of the proper nutrients in order to maintain the integrity of the bones within your spine, and that's due to malabsorption and poor food ingestion.
Mm-hmm. What is a herniated disc?
A herniated disc, wonderful. Herniated discs are if you look at a disc itself, it's made up of two main components. You have the outer annulus fibrosus, which is fibrotic tissue that makes up, it's roughly a quarter to three-eighths of an inch thick, and it maintains the outer integrity of the discs that helps to keep protection and still allow flexibility. Then in the very center of that disc is the gelatin material. It's like Jell-O brand gelatin, and when you violate the integrity of the annulus fibrosus, allowing that gelatin material to come out beyond the normal border of the disc itself, now that's called a herniated disc.
Mm-hmm. And isn't that, what is it, the annual fibrosis?
The annulus fibrosis.
Annulus fibrosis.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that, I think you've told me before, that that's the strongest tissue in the body?
It is the strongest tissue in the body, and God designed it in such a way that the more you stress it, the stronger it gets. So when one develops a disc herniation, there's really only one question that you want to ask. And who do you think you should consult with to ask that question?
Well, I would consult with you.
Yeah, Dr. Why.
Dr. Why.
Why does the annulus fibrosus, the strongest tissue in your body,
get weak,
become compromised?
Yeah.
Well, because something has to go in there and compromise it. It's like something goes in there with a razor blade and just cuts through those layers of Kevlar, if you will, and eventually now you got a weakening, and then you bend, twist, lift, push, pull, sneeze, stand up, sit down, whatever the case is, and all of a sudden, boom, that annulus pops, and now the gelatin material of the disc pushes its way out, and you get a disc herniation.
So it has to happen from the inside out.
Well, it happens from the inside out in terms of, if you want to know what causes the integrity of the annulus to wear down or to become violated on its own self, and that has to do with parasites.
Right, and we've done whole shows on that very topic.
Right, and so what the listener needs to appreciate is, if you have a disc herniation, I don't care whether they've done surgery on you. I don't care if they've done some sort of patch and repair. I don't care if they put some hardware in you, whatever. You have a parasite, and you still have a parasite, and you will get another disc herniation, maybe in your neck instead of your low back, or maybe it'll move to a higher level within your low back. But until you address your parasite, you will get disc herniations and continue to get disc herniations no matter what medicine throws at it.
And if you have a disc herniation and you treat the parasites, will that be able to heal?
Absolutely. I had a former office manager whose sister-in-law was a neurosurgeon or a neurologist who referred her to a neurosurgeon because she had a 12-millimeter disc, okay? And her sister-in-law said, you need to go talk to a neurosurgeon, and she decided to come, you know, consult with me. And we fixed it so that, you know, when she was done healing and we addressed what we addressed, you know, we went to a seminar that was at a dude ranch out in Montana, and she rode a horse. We did horseback riding for about 4 or 5 hours. That's a lot of jarring in the back.
Yeah, okay? You wouldn't do that with a herniated disc.
She didn't have any issues at all.
Wow.
No surgery.
That's a nice story. That's a good story. We need to take another short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I have a few more questions to ask you about backs and back pain.
Absolutely, but please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor, and if you'd like help with your health, why don't you come to a free class, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Dr. Richard Huntoon, your host for When Your Health Matters. If you have health concerns and would like to help them in a natural, non-drug way, I personally invite you to come to a free healthcare class held at my office every Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m. For a complete list of topics, go to spineboy.com or call 845-561-BACK or 561-2225 to get information on your next free class, When Your Health Matters.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. And today, Mark and I, we've been talking about back pain.
Well, we have been talking about back pain and the problems associated with the back. I thought it'd be good in our last segment here to talk about ways that people could find relief for their back pain without having to take drugs or going through surgery. So we just talked about the disc herniation and the dealing with
parasites.
Yeah. So what are there breathing exercises you could use to help relieve back pain?
Oh, absolutely. They can if you belly breathe and versus chest breathing, because the belly is helping you expand and contract your diaphragm, which attaches to two muscles known as your psoas muscles, which are your primary hip flexors. And when those muscles get tight due to being dehydrated, where they constrict on themselves and they compress in an effort to maintain balance within all the cells of that psoas muscle, it's going to create more arching in your spine and is not going to allow you to stand up straight. So breathing properly will actually help, along with drinking water, will help to get those muscles to relax so that your spine can be more straight.
So breathing and drinking water.
Imagine that.
Things that you could do every day. What about sleep positions?
Ideally, you want to sleep in a comfortable position. They say sleeping on your back, but for those who cannot sleep on their backs, like me, make sure the bed, the room, and the environment within the room is comfortable, devoid of electrical devices, and the bed is supportive, and ideally you should be fine.
Okay. What kind of treatments would you want to get to relieve your back pain?
That depends on the individual. There's never a one-size-fits-all, although medicine will try to fit you into that one-size-fits-all mentality, treating the back forever and ever and ever. Not fixing the back pain, but treating the back pain. There is a difference. So what kind of treatments are necessary? People get well with exercise. People get well with yoga. People get well with chiropractic. People get well with massage. People get well with acupuncture. People get well doing the things that's truly going to affect a change in the cause of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. People can, quote, become symptom-free by masking with medicine. But that's just going to drive the problem deeper and make the problem bigger over time.
Mm-hmm. Now, treating symptoms, what about ice and heat? Are those recommended?
Ice and heat are recommended. Ice in acute, painful circumstances, and heat if it's chronic and spastic. In either case, call me and we'll address it as quickly as possible without putting you on the treadmill of treatment. So first 48 hours, you want to do ice for pain.
Mm-hmm.
After that, you want to slowly move over towards heat, which is going to be more for spasm and tightness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned massage. Are there particular types of massage that would be beneficial versus others?
Well, massage is an excellent modality and one that can help remove the stress within the muscles. And if your massage therapist is well-educated and has advanced understandings, then they can help the organ and the gland relationship to address the underlying causal mechanism mm-hmm. for the back pain and not just simply give you a fluff massage. So, you know, you want to check the credentialing and check the understandings and interview the practitioner. If they have a website, good for them that they have a website. Good. Let's see what kind of massage it talks about. Let's see what kind of education that they have and then have a conversation with them. And if you mm-hmm. want me to help you understand what questions you want to ask, I'm happy to do that for you.
Okay. What about biofeedback? Is that a helpful way to treat back pain?
It can be, and I find that the need for it is usually unnecessary. You know, with the hands-on things that I do for the last 30 years, neurofeedback is just a methodology of gathering information and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You can use biofeedback in order to treat a person, but I just assume fix the person quickly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, physical therapy. Can you use that as a way of treating back pain?
It can be if the provider understands the relationships of what controls the muscles and addresses their organ-gland relationships within the low back, then yes, physical therapy can be very helpful. If you're going to go in there and have a whole bunch of physical therapy modalities and they're going to do stretches and exercising and that kind of stuff, until you fix the underlying reason, all of that physical therapy is mm-hmm. going to support the problem to remain the problem.
Mm-hmm. What about when a person has back pain, are there ways that they should exercise or things they should avoid with exercise?
You want to do exercise that's going to work within your level of pain and tolerance. You certainly don't want to exercise and have the exercise cause you pain. okay, because mm-hmm. that's just you exacerbating and injuring the tissue even more, which is going to make it take longer in order for you to recover.
Mm-hmm. I've heard about electrical nerve stimulation for back pain. Does that help?
It does help for the pain, yes, and again, it will not address the underlying mechanism of cause. It addresses the effect associated with the pain. It stimulates the nerves in order to help fatigue the nerve so that hopefully the nerve stops communicating pain.
Mm-hmm. So here's a softball question for you. How about nutrition? How does that help with back pain?
That is a softball. Can I hit it out of the park?
You can hit it out of the park.
Fantastic. It's the reason for why a person would develop back pain to begin with. Nutritional deficiencies are the reasons for health concerns. And when we finally wake up to this fact, we can eliminate the need for having debilitating back pain, or any health problem for that matter.
Mm-hmm. So in light of the nutritional things that you do, how about supplementation? Are there good supplements that would help a person with back pain? Is that something generic, or is that something very specific for each individual?
Well, it would be specific for every individual, but there are some general rules that would be helpful, okay? Depending on the individual, probiotics will always help. Fish oil will always help, and other kidney and intestinal supports will always help. And, of course, water will help. And water will probably make the biggest difference. But, yeah, if the muscles are spasming or tightening, or if they're just fatiguing because they're not functioning the way that they're supposed to, wouldn't it make sense that you would want to feed those muscles?
Yes.
So that they could either relax or they could tighten up? Okay, that's going to require specific supplementation, and I happen to be one of those providers that can help you identify the exact nutrient or nutrients that your body needs in order to just go back to normal.
Okay, now for somebody who's never visited a chiropractor before and might be afraid of what that could mean, what might they expect in a chiropractic adjustment?
Well, I can't tell you what other chiropractors do. I can tell you what's going to happen in my office as far as that go. When we've properly assessed you and we understand exactly which is your primary bone that needs adjusting, mm-hmm. okay, we're going to talk about what the adjustment is, what it entails, what you're going to experience, what you're going to hear, how you're going to feel afterwards, what you're going to notice over the next 24 to 48 hours. We're going to discuss all of those things. So we're going to try to take away as much of the mystery as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But until you've touched the hot stove, you don't know what it's going to be like. Until you've had a chiropractic adjustment, you don't know what it's going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can give somebody the most amount of understanding of what it is that they are going to experience before they experience it, and then you ask for their permission. Is it okay that I now do an adjustment? And they give you permission? Okay. I don't know what they've done with it in their head in terms of what they're anticipating, but 99 times out of 100, after I adjust them, they're like, oh, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. And my question always is why did you think it was going to be bad?
How bad did you think it was going to be?
why would bad be associated with what we're doing? We're trying to help you. You should say, wow, that was better than I thought it was going to be, instead of that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
That's a funny answer. Is there any risk of getting injured from a chiropractic adjustment?
There's risk, but the risk is so infinitesimal. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, my malpractice insurance costs me less than $100 a month.
Okay.
Less than $100 a month. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Insurance is based upon statistical evidence. The degree of likelihood of there being a consequence is why we're going to insure you. Well, if it costs me less than $100 a month to
it's
insure
pretty low
myself,
risk.
The insurance bean counters have determined there's really no risk there, but we're going to charge them $100 a month anyway.
Well, this is great. Thanks for doing this show on back pain. It's an issue that affects so many people. If people have back problems or any health problem, what's the best way to reach you?
As you know, Mark, the best way to get a hold of me is this little device I'm holding in my hand right now called a cell phone. They should call me directly at area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. They can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick at spineboy.com. Or they should come visit me at the office at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. And we're in suite 404 of building 400. And again, I'm here to help you understand how to never have a health problem and how to exercise your God-given birthright to be healthy always. And if you have any questions, please get a hold of me. And I want to thank you for tuning in. I hope this low back pain show was valuable for you. Please tune back in next week. Same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon saying I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.
What started out as a headache has become a pain in the butt. What was just an itchy finger now is a swollen foot. Doctor, I've been out of breath and I've never walked up a hill. Avoid all diet and exercise, I'd rather give you a pill. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will? Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, on top of that.